This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Kuhn, and we'll have reports from Whitney Pittman and Sierra Doctor as well. That north wind is already raw this morning, but conditions will worsen later in the day. Winds of 15 to 30 miles per hour will be commonplace, with gusts upwards of 40 miles per hour. A winter weather advisory is in place for portions of eastern North Dakota to extreme northwest Minnesota. Blowing and drifting is likely in those areas.
Cattle on feed report will be released this afternoon. Summit Commodities market analyst Tim Morris says the report is expected to continue the trends seen over the past year, cattle numbers declining.
I have seen some studies that indicate that as long as people have jobs and our unemployment rate is fairly low, most people are working, as long as people have jobs, they'll treat themselves to a burger and a beer or a steak and a scotch or whatever. And so the demand for beef will remain relatively stable. So this big break that we've had recently, a good-sized break anyway, bigger in the feeders than in the fat cattle, it looks like it may have run its course and the market may be ready to resume the up move, or at least bounce back some ahead of tomorrow afternoon's report, cattle on feed report.
In testimony before the Senate Agriculture Committee, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said disaster programs must be as flexible as possible.
When you established the WIP program and so forth, nobody anticipated that you'd have a winter storm of the magnitude that we had in the Dakotas. And so we had to kind of look at the language of that and try to figure out, are winter storms included in the language or not? Because we wanted to get help to folks. I mean, so it's just really difficult to be specific as you would like it to be, in order to cover anything and everything that can happen.
North Dakota Senator John Hoeven asked Vilsack if he would maintain the sugar program, but Vilsack would only say he understands the importance of the program. Faced with staff shortages, Vilsack said USDA has been hiring additional personnel, but they're struggling to retain those workers.
Two things. One is our compensation structure and system is no longer as competitive as it once was. It used to be that job was maybe the best job in the county. That's not the case today. And so we have significant competition. We get loan officers in FSA. We train them. And then the bank comes in and says, hey, we can pay you more with a whole lot less stress. And then secondly, you know, it's tough to work for the government these days. It's tough. People feel put upon in terms of the criticism that is often the case with public service.
Black Sea grain deal is scheduled to expire tomorrow. Ukraine wants to extend the agreement by another 120 days, but Russia has only agreed to a 60-day extension. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres was in Ukraine this past week, trying to move the negotiations forward. Guterres emphasized the Black Sea Grain Initiative is important for food security.
50 major farm groups have sent a joint letter to Congress and the Biden administration urging passage of trade promotion authority. The ag groups contend the United States is falling behind both China and the European Union in trade and in the reduction in trade tariffs.
Chinese President Xi Jinping will be in Moscow early next week to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The relationship between China and Russia is a concern as the war in Ukraine enters its second year. Digital tools are available to help farmers and crop consultants collect field data about soil sampling, agronomic decisions, and mapping. Farm QA Senior Technology Specialist Ben Munson said the technology is simple to use. Farm QA was developed by Howard Dahl, a partner with Amity Technology.
Usability is a big thing. So how easy it is to use the software, how easy it is to bring the data in, and then make sense of that data once it's in the software. So that's been a big uptake for us. And then it's also easy to get started. So we can kind of bulk upload field boundaries, set up your account, and configure it very easily. And then it's really a big time-saving tool in the field, real-time, to cross more acres, to be more efficient with what you're doing with the data.
Albaugh is acquiring Corteva Agriscience's glyphosate business. Albaugh previously bought Corteva's glyphosate business in Europe, and now this deal goes around worldwide. reporting agriculture's business. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota's legislative session continues at a fast pace. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
Proposed legislation to create a tax exemption for agriculture storage of commercial classified property was heard in North Dakota's House Agriculture Committee. Oaks, North Dakota farmer Brian Schulich spoke in favor of the bill, saying he hesitates building new potato warehouse facilities within city limits without clear tax code to protect against having to pay commercial taxes.
It's difficult for me to want to put them inside city limits and taxed at a higher rate. However, it would make much more sense to keep it close to my original structures. For my farm personally, this is not only a potato warehouse problem. In the last 10 years, I built a new corn storage facility, and I could have put it in this area. I could have gotten rail access here. Instead, I went 10 miles down the road and built on perfectly fine agricultural land, which took 7 to 10 acres out of production for as long as I can foresee, which From that aspect seems wrong.
Ellendale Mayor Donald Flaherty spoke in opposition of the bill, favoring more research to be done to mitigate potential unintended consequences of the legislation, including pest control issues.
The way that the changes are now being proposed, if a person who owns land in a commercial area erects grain bins on that land and then rents those out, that now becomes exempt. There's nothing that would prohibit that type of a venture from happening. You could have instances where a older warehouse, regular warehouse type building is now available. A farmer decides to buy that warehouse. It has not been designed for commodity storage, yet they go ahead and store commodities in it, providing some type of health or other pest control issues that now will start to arise in that city.
The hearing on Senate Bill 2279 was closed to be acted on later.
Next week marks a deadline for bills to be wrapped up in committee at the Minnesota legislative session. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has that story.
Minnesota House Agriculture Committee Chair Samantha Vang says the Grain Indemnity Fund took the focus this week in committee.
This week, we heard a pretty important bill on Grain Indemnity Fund. Right now, if a grain elevator fails, the only thing that provides a safety net for the grain producer are bonds. And right now, bonds aren't doing enough to recoup some of the revenue loss should an elevator fail. And so Grain Indemnity Fund is another safety net for grain producers to recoup some of their losses should an elevator fail.
Bang says the topic of the Grain Indemnity Fund being inadequate isn't a new one.
It's been an ongoing issue, and there hasn't been a clear-cut best solution to resolve. We know that we need more accountability from the grain elevators. We also know that we need more protections for farmers. And we've heard the department did a report gathering all the stakeholders to look at what is the best solution to resolve this problem. And they have looked at increasing the bonds requirement, and another solution came up is the Grain Indemnity Fund. So that is something that we're exploring this session.
Reporting agriculture's business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
The Minnesota Department of Agriculture would like to expand the Endon Meso Network into Minnesota. Hydrologist Safan Bischoff says MDA is seeking funding from the state legislature.
Collectively, between MDA and Endon, we have 38 weather stations in Minnesota, and we've had a lot of support from various groups, commodity groups, farmers, researchers, wanting the need for more local weather information. And we have put a proposal with the legislative session, and that'll determine if we get some more funding, and we hope to expand this network across Minnesota to be able to provide that local weather information.
And Bischoff says the long-term goal is to have Endon stations across all of Minnesota's agricultural areas.
We would like to expand more to southern Minnesota as well. We're kind of focusing on the ag areas in Minnesota to be able to provide that local weather information and the ag tools that are associated with that information as well.
USDA has awarded the National Cattlemen's Beef Association $445,000 in grant funds to address foot and mouth disease. The money supports the Secure Beef Supply Plan to maintain continuity of beef production during an FMD outbreak. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Turf seed production in Minnesota is a growing industry. Representative John Burkle introduced a bill that would provide grant funding for research in the next biennium.
House File 1606 is a bill that simply appropriates $75,000 each year for the next biennium to the Minnesota Department of Agriculture to be used as a pass-through grant to the Minnesota Turf Seed Council, which is located in the city of Roseau in my district. The appropriation must be used to continue basic and applied crop research. This appropriation has been made in each of the last several bienniums, but it has never been made part of the department's base budget, so introducing a separate bill is necessary every other year. The bill also requires that the council submit a report on how the funds were used to the chairs and ranking members of AAG Finance and Policy Committees by January 15th of 2025.
Acreage of turf seed grasses has expanded greatly in northwestern Minnesota since the early 2000s. Minnesota Turf Seed Council Executive Director Marv Zutz explained the importance of the continued research for turf seed grasses.
The grasses contribute approximately $175 million of economic activity in the region. Production of these seeds is very environmentally friendly. These seeds are used for mine reclamation, prairie restoration, levee stabilization, nutrient filters, along with many other uses. Perennial ryegrass is a relative newcomer to the region. In 2023, we expect to harvest 60,000 acres of perennial ryegrass in the area. The only thing that seems to be growing faster than ryegrass acres is the number of research questions relating to ryegrass production. Producers continue to depend on the Turf Council and the University of Minnesota to answer these questions.
And that bill has been laid over for possible inclusion in the Agricultural Finance and Policy Omnibus Bill.
Corteva Agriscience, Bunge, and Chevron USA are partnering to expand winter canola production in southern states like Tennessee and Kentucky. These hybrids will be promoted as a double cropping option for winter wheat. The canola oil will be used for renewable diesel and sustainable aviation fuel production. So we check markets. We are seeing some green this morning on the screen. Appropriate for St. Patrick's Day. The May contract, Minneapolis wheat, 851 and a quarter, 2 and a quarter higher. Chicago wheat, May, 3 and a half higher, and a nickel gain for hard red winter wheat, May. May corn, 3 and three quarter better at 636 and a half. New crop, 1 and a quarter higher. May soybeans, 3 higher at 1494 and a half. New crop soybeans, a gain of 3.5 cents. Checking in on the farm calendar, the Minnesota Agriculture and Rural Leadership Banquet is coming up on Monday. That'll be at St. Paul for that program. The Getting It Right in Sunflower Production Conference, it's a webinar, is coming up on Tuesday of next week. That starts at 8:30 and goes through noon. Contact your county extension office for details. And Minnesota Farm Bureau Foundation has its Ag Day Gala. That's Tuesday of next week as well. Stay warm. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is the Red River Farm Network.